Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we journey through the book of Acts and learn that true faith leads to action. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, each and every one of you, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. Love that term, Everyday Truth. Don't even really know how I decided upon that as a title for the podcast. And I guess in a way, John, it's not Everyday Truth because we take Saturdays and Sundays off. So do you think I've been disingenuous?
People can re-listen over the weekends to what they may have missed throughout the week.
Good point. Good point. And they're getting truth on Sunday.
Exactly right.
And Saturday is a day of rest.
Exactly.
So I think the most biblical name for Everyday Truth is to do it Monday through Friday.
That's a good point.
Boy, we can justify anything we want to. Acts chapter 5, my friends, if you're following along in your own copy of the Bible, and I would encourage you to do that, unless, of course, you're driving, in which case, keep your eyes on the road. But Acts chapter 5 and verse 17, the church is experiencing some wonderful growth and blessing. The Bible says multitudes are being saved. A part of that is because there's a great respect and an awe of God. Great fear, the Bible says, has fallen upon them. But another reason for that is they're seeing the power of the gospel as illustrated in the signs and wonders. And not only are people in Jerusalem being introduced to Christ, but the various cities, they're bringing people in, and we're just seeing the mushrooming of the gospel.
It's great to see how God worked in the early church, starting with Acts chapter 1 and on to chapter 2, obviously. It's a good throughout the book to see how the gospel does spread. And yes, we have already seen it, and we'll see it some more, how that God uses persecution to help further the spread of the gospel. But it is a mighty force that has been unleashed now as the people of God walk in the power of the Spirit of God and preach the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ changes thousands of people and brings them to the kingdom of God within, you know, just months after Christ has gone on to heaven.
It really is remarkable when you think about the time frame and just how quickly Jesus essentially just kind of invested in these 12. And yet that principle of multiplication and discipleship is now seeing great fruition in these early chapters of the book of Acts. Verse 17 of chapter 5, "Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation." I mean, they thought on several fronts that they had quelled this incipient movement called Christianity, but the more they fight it, the more it grows. And they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, "Go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. And when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, "The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within." Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. "Well, we can't let this get out." Then came one and told them, saying, "Behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple teaching the people." Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, I know this is a long section, my friends, but let me just read a couple more verses, saying, "Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. So it's a longer section that I just read today, but wow, what a story of boldness and of dedication by these apostles and others.
You know, these are great examples to us, Pastor, about how that we ought to be bold for Christ. And when I think about how much the religiosity of their day opposed them, the religious leaders opposed them, wanted to do them harm, wanted to quiet them and stop them. They just spoke up for Christ. And I think these are the men who not too long before this actually were afraid to speak about Christ. They were huddled in fear while Christ was buried. But then we find in Luke 24 when Christ teaches them more about him. And then after Christ ascends, we find them teaching in the temple. And anytime I see and I think about the apostles teaching in the temple, that was the public area. When they were teaching in the temple, the religious leaders knew exactly what was going on. But they had boldness for Christ, so much so they were willing to go to the very place they knew they'd be opposed and to witness for Christ boldly.
And it seems as if, John, that the religious leaders now have faced, this is like a deja vu moment, okay? Because this happened with Jesus. And they were afraid of the people and wouldn't arrest him until finally they could do it privately. This happened again in Acts chapter 3. So they're seeing that this is happening over and over again. They're trying to intimidate. They're trying to stop. They're trying to spin. And in every situation, it's serving only to spread the gospel, not stop it.
You're right, and these men have to be frustrated in that they are the power brokers of their day. They are the Sanhedrin, they are the leaders, they are the people that should be revered and feared and followed, and yet these apostles are not afraid of men. They serve God. Vance Havner, many years ago, I heard a cassette tape. You remember cassette tapes back in the day?
I'm vaguely familiar with them.
Heard a cassette tape, and Vance Havner made the comment something like, when you walk with the Almighty, human potentates are small potatoes.
That's good.
That's a good thought that he has.
That's good. So God works in several demonstrable ways here. Number one, he allows them to go to prison. And if we just stop the story right there, we're like, well, you know, that's not fair. They're preaching the gospel. They're being persecuted. In other cases, we see they're being beaten. And then yet, what does God do in prison? God does this miracle. How he gets them out without the keepers seeing it, we don't know. The keepers apparently didn't know anything about it. God may have put them to sleep, or I don't know how he did it. But we do know that God has done this several times in the book of Acts. We'll find later on, for instance, in Acts 12, we'll see that Peter, who's watched by four quaternions of soldiers, is released from prison. The prison bars open. Remember, he goes to Rhoda's the house, and Rhoda tells the others he's at the door. That whole story, we'll get there. And then remember Acts 16. Where Paul and Silas are praying at midnight and the prison doors are open, but they don't leave. So we're finding a prison is a place that the apostles are getting very familiar with.
They are. They're serving God and they're in prison. And I love their perspective, Pastor, how that, you know, they did not get discouraged by this. They were still serving God and God got them out of prison and they immediately go and they preach again. The very thing that put them in prison. You know, I look at my life today. I don't know persecution personally. I've never suffered persecution like this. But these men are great examples of how we ought to serve God no matter what happens in our lives.
Yeah. Don't do this. We're telling you, don't do this, but they do. And then when they do what God tells them to do instead of what man tells them to do, man punishes them. And then God says, okay, I want you to go back and do what I told you to do. It's that's not the way we, with our American sensibilities, respond.
No, often, you know, I know people who get very discouraged. And, you know, I have known people who've gotten discouraged, you know, talk to people about Christ and just refuse to talk to people anymore because somebody yelled at them or somebody cursed at them. And that is just so, you know, such a lack of faith in the Almighty God that the apostles demonstrate that when you have faith in Almighty God, God can work in great ways. You know, I think it was William Carey who said, you know, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. And I wonder in my own life sometimes if I have not attempted more great things for God because I haven't expected great things from God.
Mm. No, that's it. That's a very convicting question for all of us. You know, I think about these religious leaders and how they just seem to be inured to the truth's effect upon their life. They at what point, as the high priest or as a member of the Sanhedrin Council, do you say, yeah, this might be true? Look at this. Why don't we examine it? But the way they always dealt with it was they spinned it. They always tried to spin it to be something that it wasn't.
You know, I think Romans chapter 1, it talks about the power of the gospel and how that people hold it in unrighteousness. The idea is they suppress it. You know, the truth surfaces, but they just beat it back. And in this case, you're right, they're trying to tell lies about what happened. They're trying to spin it with certain ways. They're not being forthright. These religious leaders know this cannot be the work of man. And yet their heart is so hardened. I think in the gospels, they even attribute it to the work of Satan. Mm-hmm. And Jesus says, how does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Jesus gives a threefold argument that doesn't even make sense. A house divided against itself cannot stand. And yet, if you are attributing what is clearly the work of the Holy Spirit to Satan, then that's the ultimate blasphemy. That's the ultimate abuse, is to look at God, look at what God is clearly doing and saying no to God. That is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, is to say no to the Holy Spirit's message. Now, what is his message? His message today is, trust Christ. He points to Christ. He convinces the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. For you to say no to that work of the Holy Spirit is effectively to blaspheme the Holy Spirit.
And I love what the Bible says in the passage you just read here in Acts about that, how that God gave the Holy Spirit to them that obeyed him. So we have those that oppose God. Obviously, often they even, you know, blaspheme the Holy Spirit. But those that trust in Christ, those that obey God, trust in Christ. And in doing so, when they do that, they're going to receive the Holy Spirit who empowers them to become like Christ in their life. So I ask myself the question, you know, John, you see how God used the Holy Spirit in the lives of these early Christians and how they did great things for God and served God. In my life today, I have the same Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit? How is that making a difference in my life with what I'm doing?
And, you know, I want to obey the Lord, but I want to kind of know what that entails and what is going to result because of it. And the wonderful thing about the boldness of the apostles and these early Christians is they really didn't know what was going to happen. And then when negative things did happen, they went right back to what they were supposed to, the simple life of obedience. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We're going to obey God, not man. They just kept it simple, didn't they?
They sure did. You know, and they lived in an environment that was hostile toward Christianity, that tried to suppress Christianity. And yet they, in their environment, stood boldly for Christ. And it is a good reminder to me. I don't, maybe some of you listeners may be in countries as you listen over the internet or however you listen to the podcast. You may be in countries that do oppose Christianity. In America, we have had great freedoms and we still have great freedoms to speak boldly for Christ. And yet, I wonder, you know, how do we do in comparison to the disciples who obey God, as you said, Pastor, without even knowing what might happen? It might cost them their lives. And some did die. And yet, God called them, and they obey God with a willing heart.
And times of government misunderstanding and persecution and spinning were the times of greatest growth for Christianity. We just don't see things the way God sees things. We might be entering, and I'm talking about to my fellow Americans, we might be entering a season, even in Christianity in the United States, where we're going to be facing some of these things, a prison, and increasingly we're being put in a place where are we going to obey the government or obey God because they're mutually exclusive? Sometimes they're mutually exclusive. We might be facing that. But would to God that we would, as you said, John, earlier, be empowered by the same Holy Spirit of God, be guided by the same simplicity of being witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then let the chips fall where they may. So I hope that helps today, my friends, as you consider your own obedience to Christ, your own commitment to the gospel, And I know that these are not easy words to hear, but the good news is greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So I hope that encourages you today, my friends. Look forward to jumping right back in next episode. Have a great day in the Lord. God bless.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.